But it's a great privilege to be here to speak about the role of the laity in the new evangelization. And it's a great privilege to be here among so many wonderful people at the Brent Society, to hear Father Pavone and Father Johnson speak. I'm looking forward as well to hearing some of the other talks later on. The document I've been asked to speak about is Christa Fidelis Laici. It's an outstanding document written by Pope John Paul II. He issued it on the feast day of the Holy Family, December 30th, 1988. And the English translation is called The Lay Members of Christ's Faithful. Now, in this document, the Pope is calling us to the new evangelization. Now, evangelization is a word that a lot of people don't even know about. I was teaching in Aquinas school last year, went into a third grade class, and I was telling them about evangelization and how when I was 16 years old, I used to go out into the street corners with the Legion of Mary. We set up Catholic literature racks and give out parish bulletins and how to go to confession booklets and religious holy cards. And afterwards, when I told him I had evangelized out there, a kid raised his hand and says, "Father, did they ever arrest you for vandalizing on the street corners?" I said, "No, there's a big difference between vandalizing and evangelizing." Well, the Pope makes so many wonderful points in this document that he's decided to summarize it in just five main topics or five main points. And to help me remember it, I decided to use the word laity and to give you one idea for every letter in that word. So, for example, the L stands for the fact that the laity are called to be the leaven in society, the leaven in the community. One parish priest told a kid, "You have to be the leaven. You have to be a leaven in the community." He said, "Father, I'd much rather be 13. Now, this comes from Luke chapter 13, in fact. Jesus said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God?" And here is referring to the church. "It is like leaven, which a woman took to knead into three measures of flour until the whole mass of dough began to rise." And that's the role of the laity, to be the leaven in the community. That's your vocation. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are the leaven in society." Now, the Holy Father says that we become the leaven in society by influencing, and he says on page 12, if you have a copy of this document, I highly encourage you to, if you don't have a copy, get a copy and read it. It says on page 12, "The laity must influence society professionally, socially, culturally, and in the political world." And the Pope goes on to tell the state of society right now. And he says, we have to be realistic. He says we live in a de-Christianized world. He says we live in a place where atheism is growing, where secularism is growing, and we live in a culture of death. He says that the fundamental rights of individuals are being violated, the rights of the unborn, the dignity of the human person is being attacked through violence, terrorism, and war. So he says that is the state of our society right now, but he says we should have hope. He says, "Be not afraid," as you see right here. He says the answer to all the problems is Jesus Christ. He says Christ is the hope of humanity. And he says that there are signs of hope taking place in the world. He says there are people that are hungry and searching for God. He says there's a renewed interest in spirituality and in prayer and a return to the sense of the sacred. And so, you are the leaven in society, and through the political realm, through medicine, through law, through business, through teaching, through music and the arts, and especially in the family, you can sanctify the world. You're called to be in the world, but not of the world. And that leads us to the second letter. How are we called to be the leaven in society? And that is through the apostolate and through apostolic work. The Pope says that you are sent as lay people. The Heavenly Father sent the Son into the world, and you are sent out, he says, from every Mass. What do we say? The Mass is ended, go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. So every Mass you are sent forth to be an apostle, to evangelize. The Holy Father says that the Church, by its very nature, is apostolic and missionary. And he says we're called to be active members of the church. So there was a story of a priest who went out to visit a fellow who had turned just a wasteland, like a rock pile, into a beautiful garden. And people came from hundreds of miles around to see the beautiful flowers and the gardens that this man had made. And the priest admired this and said to the gardener, you and the good Lord together have done a magnificent job. Because the priest did not want the man to get too proud, you know, he wanted him to have humility. The man understood the priest's point and says, Father, you're right. If it wasn't for the sunshine, if it wasn't for the rain, the soil, and the miracle of life, you know, I could not do all these things. But he said, Father, you should have seen this place when God had it all to himself. And that's the idea, is that everything is God's grace, of course. However, there's human cooperation that needs to be involved. As St. Francis de Sales said, pray as if everything depended on God, work as if everything depended on your effort. Now, the Holy Father, in this document on Christa Fidelis Laici, gives a scriptural image which runs through the entire document, and that is the image of the vineyard. And it's from Matthew chapter 20. Let me just read a couple sentences of this. He says, the people of God might be likened to the laborers in the vineyard mentioned in Matthew's gospel. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. The gospel parable sets before our eyes the Lord's vast vineyard and the multitude of persons, both men and women, who are called and sent forth by him to labor in it. The vineyard is the whole world, which must be transformed according to the plan of God in view of the final coming of the kingdom of God. Then he says, from that distant day, the call of the Lord Jesus, go into my vineyard, never fails to resound in the course of history. It is addressed to every person who comes into this world. So the Holy Father has said that we are the workers in the vineyard. Now, the Pope says it is not permissible for anyone to remain idle. And sometimes that has happened. People remain idle their whole life and never get involved in the apostolate of the church. Now, back in towards the end of the document, on page 117, the Pope makes an interesting statement. He quotes St. Gregory the Great, and he says that it's never too late to evangelize. He says that, you know how people were called early in the morning and then at noon and then in the afternoon and then in the late afternoon? He says that these represent the various stages in a person's life. According to our analogy, the morning can represent childhood. And some are called in childhood, like St. Therese and some of the young saints. The third hour, then, can refer to adolescence. Some people find Christ when they're teenagers. The sun has now moved to the height of heaven. That is the stage of a person. At this stage, a person grows in strength. The sixth hour is adulthood. The sun is in the middle of the sky. Indeed, at this age, the fullness of vitality is obvious. Old age represents the ninth hour because the sun starts its descent from the height of heaven. Thus, the youthful vitality begins to decline. The 11th hour represents those who are most advanced in years. The laborers then are called and sent forth into the vineyard at different hours. That is to say, one is led to a holy life during childhood, another in adolescence, another in adulthood, another in old age. Isn't that a beautiful description of the passage of the vineyard and how some people will come to God at their very last moment before they die? Now, the Holy Father says that it's by our baptism and confirmation that we're called to the apostolate. Our apostolic life is nourished by the Eucharist. And that if we don't spread our faith, we begin to lose our faith. Those of you who have been to the Holy Land know what happens when you don't share something that's been given to you. And the analogy is the Dead Sea versus the Sea of Galilee. How many of you have been to the Holy Land? Some of you? The Sea of Galilee receives the Jordan River and then gives it forth. and the Sea of Galilee is teeming with fish and with life. The Dead Sea receives the Jordan River, but it keeps it to itself. And for that reason, it has no life. No fish, nothing lives in the Dead Sea. And that's what happens to us if we don't spread our faith and are not apostolic. We begin to stagnate. What happens if we learn a foreign language but don't practice it? We begin to lose it. Our muscles begin to deteriorate if we don't use them. And so we're called to spread our faith. Then the Pope says this could be done as individuals or in groups. He talks about the importance of belonging to organizations. He says obviously some people can be apostolic of their own. For example, teachers in Catholic schools, or CCD teachers, or many people in pro-life work on their own. However, he says, it's important also to have groups that you can belong to that can help you to spread the faith. See, for example, if people want to give up alcohol, they go to AA, right? It's group support. Oftentimes we need organizations and groups to help to work together. The Pope says that if you belong to an organization in the church, he says there are five criteria that should be met in that organization. Number one, that the organization has to give primacy to the call to holiness. So holiness comes first. Second, that the organization has to profess the Catholic faith and be loyal to the magisterium. Third, has to be in union with the Pope. Fourth, to be united to the Church's own apostolic goals. And fifth, to promote the dignity of the human person. Those are the five criteria for any organization that we belong to in the Catholic Church. And let me just mention a few organizations very briefly that, in my opinion, fulfill the Pope's criteria. The one that my parents belong to and met in is the Legion of Mary. I've been a member since I was 10 years old. So I belong for now for 26 years. They just figured out how old I am. With the Legion, they visit prisons, hospitals, nursing homes, shut-ins, and evangelize door-to-door. Then, of course, the Knights of Columbus, a wonderful organization. There's the Schoenstatt movement, the Apostolate for Family Consecration. There's Opus Dei, Regnum Christi, the World Apostolate of Fatima, Catholics United for the Faith, the Brent Society. See, all these things are groups you can belong to that can help to be apostolic. Which brings us to our next letter, which is I. And that stands for before I mention the word, there is a danger of the apostolic life. Sometimes it's been called the heresy of good works. There is danger in the apostolate or the active life, and our Lord had to tell Martha and Mary about this. Remember, Martha was so anxious and worried. And he said, Mary has chosen the better portion. She shall not be deprived of it. See, Martha represents the active life, Mary the contemplative life, the interior life. And that is the next letter in the word laity. I, which stands for the interior life. You see, you and I are apostolic, of course. However, we must be very careful not to neglect the interior life, which is the life of prayer and the vocation to holiness. The Pope says that every layperson is called to holiness, to the perfection of charity. He says the greatest need in the church today, what do you think he's going to say? Is saints. That is the greatest need in the church today. And the Pope uses the scriptural image in John chapter 15 of the vine and the branches. And he says that you as lay apostles need to be branches united to Christ, who is the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you are cut off, we wither and we die. However, when we're joined to Christ, we will bear much fruit. And without Christ, we can do nothing. So what can you and I do to make sure that we're not neglecting the interior life? Well, I'd recommend reading a book called The Soul of the Apostolate. How many of you have read that book? Okay, it's by Dom Chattard, called The Soul of the Apostolate. And that talks about the importance of prayer in one's apostolic life. So I encourage you to spend time each day in prayer, to pray the rosary each day, Perhaps spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. Many apostles that I know make a holy hour each day before the Blessed Sacrament. Some pray the Liturgy of the Hours each day. Now, the interior life must be nourished by study and by spiritual reading, primarily the reading of sacred scripture and the lives of the saints. And an apostle also has to frequent the sacraments. That means regular confession, perhaps monthly, frequent Mass and Holy Communion, perhaps even daily. In fact, Scott Hahn, the former Protestant minister, said that he loves being Catholic so much he feels he's a fulfilled Christian. Because as a Protestant, all those years, he was reading the Bible and got to know Jesus, but he said it was just like reading the menu the whole time. Now he can go to Mass and participate in the banquet, in the feast. So he used to order from the menu. Now he can actually partake in that banquet. So Mass and Holy Communion should be a regular part of our life. Devotion to our Blessed Mother and fulfilling the duties of one's state in life. And having some sort of a plan of life. Like when we wake up, to say the morning offering each day. Before we go to sleep, to make an act of contrition and do an examination of conscience. And then perhaps a few times during the year, go on days of recollection or go on an annual retreat. Father Hardin once said that it's only holy people that reproduce holy people. And so that is the interior life, the life of holiness. And if we're joined to Christ as branches or joined to the vine, then we will bear much fruit for God's kingdom. Which leads us to the next letter, which is T, and that stands for tools. What are the tools of the laity in the apostolate? Remember, we just talked about the importance of holiness, and it's really only holy people and holy places and holy things that bring other people closer to God. Remember that. People, places, and things that are holy will be God's instruments, God's tools of the apostolate. Now, we talked a little bit about the importance of holiness as an individual, but what does it mean to have holy places? Well, these would be things such as the Holy Land, places of pilgrimage, Rome, Assisi, Marian Shrine. See, these holy places are instruments of how people are converted to come closer to God. Retreat centers. Jesus says, come away and rest a while. Chapels of perpetual adoration are holy places. Churches, cathedrals, these shrines are holy places that are tools that God uses to bring about conversion. One practical recommendation I'd like to give is to encourage your priest to set up a chapel of perpetual adoration. We now have three in our diocese, actually four. We have St. Michael's in Annandale, Sacred Heart in Winchester, Our Lady of Angels in Woodbridge, and Father Gould recently started in St. Agnes in Arlington. That's four out of about 60 parishes. I know some dioceses where they have 30 or 40 chapels of perpetual adoration. See, in going to these holy places, people are converted. People's prayer life are deepened, and these places are opportunities for a deepening of one's spiritual life. So holy people, holy places, and then holy things are what God uses to bring about conversions and return to the sacraments. What are the holy things? Obviously, the most important are the seven sacraments that Christ himself established. And then there's the sacramentals, things such as the Bible, the praying of the rosary, the wearing of a medal, like a miraculous medal or a brown scapular, enthroning the image of the Sacred Heart in the home, and the blessing of houses. These sacramentals can be little channels of God's graces to people to lead them to the sacraments and to the church. But there's also other holy things that God uses to bring about conversion, such as good Catholic books and literature. You know, St. Edith Stein was converted by the reading of the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila. You know, the Jesuit founder, Ignatius of Loyola, was converted by, you remember, a cannonball struck his leg during his recovery time. He wanted to read the romance novels in the castle, but they were all out of the Harlequin romances. And so he read the Lives of the Saints and the New Testament. So good Catholic books can be instruments of conversion. Also Catholic radio. How many people were brought to the faith by Bishop Sheen through Catholic radio? And nowadays, with our new wave of Catholic apologists, we're going to be seeing tens of thousands of more conversions because of Catholic radio. Catholic television, like Mother Angelica, EWTN. Catholic movies in the past have brought about conversions, like the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. People have said to me, Father, I was converted by watching the Song of Bernadette on television. You know, isn't that amazing? See, these are holy things that God can use to bring about conversions. Catholic websites have been bringing about returns of the sacraments and conversions now. Catholic audio tapes. As I tell people, not only should we become bookworms, we should become tapeworms. We should be listening to tapes whenever we're in our car. We should turn our car into a university on wheels. Use Catholic literature. Give out holy cards. You know, when you send a Christmas card, you know, put a holy card in there as well. When you send a birthday card, stick a holy card in there as well. These are little things that we can do to evangelize. I'm a big promoter of having a Catholic bumper sticker on your car, like a pro-life bumper sticker. Because on 66 and on Route 95, when you're sitting in traffic on the Beltway, what else are you going to do but read the person's bumper sticker? Something like, it's a child, not a choice, or I love babies born and unborn. See, these are little tiny ways that we can evangelize. You can even get one I saw that said, a bumper sticker that said, if you wake, those who wait to find God in the 11th hour usually die at 10:30. And the other one the other day, it wasn't really a Catholic bumper sticker, but it said, Dr. Kevorkian for White House physician. But anyway, these little things can make people think, right? Also, license plates. You can get, you know, Psalm 23. You can get, I have John chapter 6 on mine, JNCH6. Okay, with some kids thought it meant join channel 6. But you see, John chapter 6 or Genesis 3:15 or Luke 1:47 or Matthew 16:16, these Catholic verses can maybe make somebody go back to their Bible and begin reading a passage from Scripture. Now, as a practical suggestion, what I'd recommend to you is try to get in your parishes Catholic libraries, a good Catholic book library, a Catholic video library, and Catholic audio tape libraries. Because how else are we going to reach the thousands of people that come to church that just come for Mass and leave right away? If we can pull them in to watching good Catholic videos, listening to good audio tapes, and having them read good books, it's a way to evangelize. Also, try to get a pamphlet rack in the back of your church with the permission of your pastor. Like at St. Leo's, they have hundreds of good Catholic books available, and other parishes have good Catholic literature available in the vestibule. And it's a great way. Somebody can just pick up a pamphlet and take it home and read it, and these holy things can help bring about their conversion. So holy places, holy people, and holy things are what God uses in the apostolate. Now we need to increase our effort as we approach the year 2000, which brings me to the last letter, is Y, and that stands for Y2K. Or as somebody once said, Y to pray is what we should really be doing. So the last letter is Y, and that's the year 2000, the great Jubilee year, which the Pope says is going to be, he believes, a springtime of Christianity, a season of grace, a time of conversions, returns to the sacraments, reconciliation, and forgiveness. The Pope says, quote, the hour has come for the re-evangelization. Do not be afraid. Open wide the doors to Christ. And the Holy Father outlines what he wants this year to be. He says it will begin on Christmas Eve of this year, 1999, when the Holy Year door is opened at St. Peter's. And it will go until January 6th of the year 2001. He says he wants this entire year to be a year of praise of the Blessed Trinity. He says it'll focus on the sacrament of the Eucharist, on the Blessed Sacrament. It'll be a time of pilgrimage, encouraging people to go to the Holy Land or to Rome, or to visit one's diocesan cathedral or churches that are designated for this holy year. He then says it's a time of indulgence, when you will be able to gain indulgences on a grander scale. He also says it's a time of love and forgiveness, a time when we should forgive the debts of those who are indebted to us, and also ask forgiveness for what we've done wrong, and a time of evangelization. Lastly, the Pope says he entrusts the entire new evangelization to our Blessed Mother. And he calls Mary the star of evangelization. He says Mary was the first evangelist because she brought Christ to Elizabeth, Christ present in her womb. One last point. The Holy Father has been greatly influenced by the writings of St. Louis Maria de Montfort in his book called The True Devotion. And I'd like to recommend this as another practical thing you can do, is read the book The True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort and make the consecration. Give yourself entirely to Jesus Christ through the Blessed Mother. And the Pope says that this was a turning point in his life when he made this total consecration as a young seminarian in Poland. And so the Pope sees the importance of Our Lady in leading us to Christ and leading the entire world to Christ, and that's why he has entrusted the Church and the new evangelization to Mary's maternal care. And I'll end with a little prayer of Pope John Paul II. O Virgin Mother of God, guide and sustain us, that we might always live as true sons and daughters of the Church of your Son. Enable us to do our part in helping to establish on earth the civilization of truth and love, as God wills it, for his glory. Amen. God bless you.
Do you have any suggestions as to how a young person can routinely evangelize without being put down as a member of the God's Plan?
Well, the key is example. Okay, so the example of an individual, whether it be a teenager or an adult, speaks so loudly. Remember the expression, your example speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you say. So I would say example would be the key. People have been converted just by seeing a holy person like Mother Teresa or Pope John Paul II. So oftentimes you don't have to say anything. It's just how you live your life. And, for example, in high school, of somebody that attends church and doesn't use bad language and is an example of charity, that will bring about, I think, a lot of conversion, more than we even realize. Now, Bishop Sheen once said, there are three qualities you need to bring about conversions to the faith. You might want to write these down, because I've never found three more important words than these. The first one he said was kindness. Number two he said was kindness, and number three was kindness. So he said, this is how people are brought to the faith, is through charity and through kindness.
Thanks, Brad. Can you mention some of the Catholic websites on the internet and your records?
Well, there are literally hundreds of good Catholic websites out there. Catholic Answers, you know, the Vatican website, the EWTN website come to mind. If you go to something like Peter's Net, you'll see all the websites reviewed and critiqued. If you want to, on my website that my friend Steve Clifford put together for me. Steve Clifford is a former Mormon that came into the church about 7 years ago. And Steve is the one who has these websites under transporter.com. And if you go to transporter.com, you'll see about 10 different Catholic websites. Mine's one of them. And if you go to his links page, it's phenomenal. He has links to all the best Catholic websites that are available. Or go to the Arlington Catholic Herald website, and you'll see links to many of all the fine websites. So I'd say go to the Catholic Herald or Transporter and just look at their links, and you'll be taken to all the best stuff.
Please repeat the name of the book you're holding. Well, Governor was holding, I think, a copy of Christopher Dale's Laici, which is not in your booklet, but probably is available out at the counter that the Order of St. Paul had outside.
In fact, when I was out at the daughter's, at their table, they had a stack of about a dozen of these, okay? It's called Christa Fidelis Laici, and it's the lay members of Christ Faithful. This is written primarily for you.
So many Catholics don't know their faith. Can we expect a true outpouring of the Holy Spirit to give them and us more knowledge and courage and evangelize?
We can expect, I believe, an outpouring of grace, because God, I believe, will really be pouring out graces as we approach the great Jubilee year, which the Pope says he believes is going to be the greatest year in the history of the Catholic Church. And it's about to start in 2 months, so we're so privileged to be living at this time. The other thing that comes to mind in answering that question is in the document called The Mystery of the Incarnation, which is about the great Jubilee year, the Pope talks about all the martyrs that we've had. You know, we've had more martyrs from the year 1900 to the year 1999 than in the first 1,800 years of Christianity. So we're living in the age of martyrs, the Pope says. And because of that, remember Tertullian says, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith. So since we've had so many martyrs in this century, under the Nazis, under the communists, and through racial and tribal conflict, he says, we can expect a great amount of grace. Now, we should also be studying our faith, as I mentioned. We need to be reading the catechism, we need to be reading the scriptures and the teachings of the church. And as Monsignor Escriva said, an hour of study for the modern apostle is like an hour of prayer. So we need to be studying our faith each and every day.